Cedric Muhammad.
Pre-med, 4.0 GPA, 44 MCATs, President American Legion Math League, TA to Professors Wilkins and Sanders, both of whom are friends of mine and who wrote glowing recommendations. And you're accepted early into school here at Harvard Med, pending graduation from MIT. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
The Robinson Scholarship is comprehensive, as you know. It's a free ride, and free rides don't come easy.
Absolutely.
We have 76 applicants this year, only one of whom will get the scholarship, and most of whom have resumes just as impressive as yours.
Right. Professor Phillips, some kids grow up wanting to play for the Red Sox. You know, some grow up wanting to be, a fireman. I grew up, I just wanted to come here to Harvard Med. And now that I've gotten accepted, it seems to only come down to the money, which I don't really have. So, what I'm trying to say is that I really, really need this scholarship.
Cedric Muhammad.
Did you rehearse that?
Yeah, like 14 times in front of the mirror.
Last year, the Robinson went to Hum Jae Wook, a Korean immigrant who has only one leg.
Well, I have both my legs.
Well, have you considered cutting one of them off?
I told you not to shoot dice with me.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Don't trip. Fuck on my grip. I'm gonna take the little
Cedric Muhammad.
You can make me get on some. Run up on your quick. What up, you with? Don't trip. You gon' get your mother.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Stunting in my yellow lamb, Marcy Largo, top down. Damn, I'm the biggest crook from New York since Son of Sam. Cruising, bumping bucks, in my hand. Thinking the East ain't enough, it's time to expand. I plan to head out west and plant my feet down. I'm the biggest King Kong in the street now. I do a little house shopping and buy me a crib. It's palm trees and pretty out in Cali, kid. I touched the Hollywood paper, going shooting some flicks. Had some supermodel come and suck with some mama. I'd turn in the grave if I married a white chick. But baby, the chrome off a Chevy and be wearing fake shines. I'm rocking a little charm. 30 carats on the pinky, kiss the ring on the dog. Crack open that Cali and stuff the in the bone.
If you hustle Muhammad
for me, I hustle harder. I got what you need.
Silence books in the garden of Black Universalism. Mr.
My
Cedric Muhammad.
Every hour on the hour. When I see, so I'm in a position of power.
Cedric Muhammad.
Where I'm from, you learn to blend in or get touched. I don't need this for support, I don't walk with a crutch. Just know my stage, they don't with me, son. You got an appetite for tips, I feed you my. This is that Ferrari F50, this real laid back. Tight, you recline to in the Maybach. I got two now on the run from the fuzz. You get the same for 10 you get for one, cuz I live life in the fast lane. 100 miles an hour, chrome and some wood grain. You know when still really trying to move. Make a little extra money on the side, man. I ain't playing, I'm up early with the word. Putting that work in, Pirelli's on the boss chirping.
The home
I'm making
of the
like
business and building music,
movement.
The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee
so
program.
If you hustle, for me I hustle harder. I got what you need.
Cedric Muhammad.
That my two packs. Every hour
Cedric
on
Muhammad.
The hour. When I see, so I'm in a position of power.
Cedric Muhammad.
Man, I may be the happiest man on the planet today. It was a long 2 weeks, right? Might have to serenade y'all. I want to welcome you to the hottest show in the diaspora, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, December 2nd, 2009. Feels good to be back in the seat. I hope you all had a rejuvenating time off from your boy. Hold on. Feel like loving you today. Come on, sing along. If you know this, I think I'll send you a free book. Free copy of The Entrepreneurial Secret if you know this song. I feel like loving you today. I don't know the words. Come on. Rod Ginyard, you should know this. Rod Ginyard, Culver City, California. Hey, listen. A lot to talk about. Pacquiao Cotto, I was wrong. I will come clean today. Another wrong prediction from your boy right here. Let me hit the captain's blog today. We've got, obviously, President Obama's speech on Afghanistan. There's a black hate preacher in Harlem. I don't know if you all saw him, but Russia Today, the excellent foreign channel, Russia Today did a feature on the black hate preacher. Check that out a little bit later. LeBron and Dwayne Wade on the same squad. How does that feel to you? I think it might happen in New York. Vince Young, all of you out there that turned on the brothers so quick. Vince Young, the resurrection of Vince Young may be the story of 2009 in sports, later for Derek Jeter being a sportsman of the year. I want to talk about Skull and Bones a little bit later. Skull and Bones, Pacquiao Mayweather, the business of that fight. Hold on, it's the best part right here. Rod Ginyard, you should know who this is. Jerome from Philly. Ooh, man. I got a friend of mine, Saki, he plays that instrument. Pastor Rick Warren was on Meet the Press. I've got the audio of him talking about charity, Thanksgiving, spirituality, and politics. I want to chop that up. And Allen Iverson, the 1 week retirement. I think this is a great move. Allen Iverson going to Philly. We'll build on that. I've got two very important blogs out of three that I wrote this week that were all big in my mind. I wrote a blog on etiquette and networking based upon a chapter in my book. That's at CedricMuhammad.com. I want to welcome all of my AllHipHop.com viewers. AllHipHop.com is where you want to go to get your news on what's happening in the music industry and culture where hip-hop and R&B are concerned. AllHipHop.com. I've written a new blog. My hip-hoppreneur commentary this week is on Vivo. Those of you who have been used to watching videos on YouTube, December 8th is doomsday. No. You will not see no videos from any artists from Sony Music or Universal on YouTube or anywhere else for that matter. If they can help it, you will have to enjoy those things through a Vivo player. So we'll talk about Vivo. December 8th, it launches. Is it the continued demise of the music industry or is it a sign of the rebirth? And then yesterday at CedricMuhammad.com, I penned in blog essay on the army that I think President Obama has failed to deploy. That is the 30 million small business owners in this country, and I break down why. If you watched the speech last night, weigh in. Those of you that don't know, you may be new to the show. I don't talk about this subject in reckless fashion, so if you're just going to start throwing around links to articles, the latest thing that you're hearing about the war, it's going to get no love on this program. Only something thoughtful is what I want to consider. Let me give you an example. I want to set the tone. And let me wait. Let me set it off. You had enough of CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and even C-SPAN. I'm turning on C-SPAN slightly, unless they have me on to discuss my book, The Entrepreneurial Secret. Then I will revoke my criticism of them temporarily. C-SPAN getting a little reckless, too. But let's listen to the foreign assessment of what's going on with President Obama's decision to deploy more troops in Afghanistan. Let's go to France. France is going to turn heels on this. I'll tell you where I got that from soon. Here we go. France 24.
Joining us on France 24. First up, U.S. President Barack Obama is sending 30,000 extra troops to Afghanistan. He made that much-anticipated announcement in a televised speech Tuesday night. The surge is part of a two-year strategy that he says should see the U.S. pulling out of Afghanistan in the summer of 2011. That is, of course, as long as Afghan authorities take the necessary steps to secure the country in the next 2 years. Correspondent Guillaume Myers in Washington now. He has more about what the morning papers have to say in D.C.
Well, of course, the story is all over the major newspapers in the U.S. and for most news organizations here. It's not the number, really, 30,000, that is the news this morning. Rather, it's the way Barack Obama will go about sending those troops. For example, in the New York Times, you have Obama speeds troops deployment and vows to back in 2011. Of course, that's the major news coming from Washington, the decision that Barack Obama will send, will start sending some of those troops back as early as July 2011. That's a big deal, and really a big, it's seen here as a big concession by Obama to anti-war Democrats who don't like sending troops to Afghanistan to fight a war. Also, interestingly, in the Washington Post this morning, Obama says U.S. security is still at stake. This is a very important argument made by Barack Obama that there is a war in Afghanistan because, according to him and according to his analysis, there is still danger there that Al-Qaeda could come back and could strike again like it did during the attacks of September 11th, 2001. Barack Obama made the point several times during his speech that it is important to go to Afghanistan to go after the perpetrators of 9/11, and that mission is still going on, and that is really one of his main arguments for sending more troops to Afghanistan, as the country is still wary about sending soldiers in harm's way.
Guillaume Meyer reporting there from Washington. Well, in addition to the U.S. troops, another 5,000 to 10,000 soldiers should come from U.S. allies. 500 of those will come from the U.K. Speaking today at the House of Commons, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown told about the troop situation in Afghanistan.
I think, first of all, that the whole House will welcome the announcement by President Obama, both of the objectives of the mission in relation to the Taliban and in relation to Al-Qaeda, but also the numbers of troops, a very substantial part of which will go into Helmand province and will be an assistance in dealing with the Taliban insurgency there. I said on Monday that our troops would go in immediately so that they were more densely concentrated in the areas where there has been the greatest problem. I said that from January, some of our troops would be involved in the vital task of partnering and mentoring the Afghan forces. I believe that we have a situation where at the moment there are something in the order of 200,000 Afghan troops and British, America and coalition troops in Afghanistan. By the end of next year and by the beginning of 2011, that will be in excess of 300,000. It will make it possible for us to transfer the control of some of the districts and provinces to Afghan security control starting in 2010.
Prime Minister Gordon Brown there from the UK. Well, France has welcomed President Obama's new strategy in Afghanistan, but Paris has once again made it clear that it will not be sending in more combat troops, at least in the meantime. France already has over 3,000 soldiers in Afghanistan.
For now, there is no need to increase our troops. However, if it works well with the villagers, we should send not just civilians who will go to Afghanistan willingly, but also policemen or technicians. There are ways we can really finesse our efforts.
Now, also during his speech Tuesday, President Obama talked about Pakistan. He said the same cancer of extremism that had torn at Afghanistan was also hurting its neighbor. Obama pledged greater support for Pakistan in the fight against terrorism, but he said Islamabad must also make a bigger effort.
Pakistan has never been the most enthusiastic partner in the fight against Al-Qaeda, but the United States says it must do better. In his West Point speech Tuesday, Barack Obama said that Pakistan's inaction only endangers the country.
In the past, there have been those in Pakistan who have argued that the struggle against extremism is not their fight, and that Pakistan is better off doing little or seeking accommodation with those who use violence. But in recent years, as innocents have been killed from Karachi to Islamabad, it has become clear that it is the Pakistani people who are the most endangered by extremism.
Washington told Pakistan President Asif Ali Zardari earlier this week that his government has to take action against terrorist groups operating on its soil, such as Al-Qaeda and Lashkar-e-Taiba, or the U.S. will do it themselves.
We will strengthen Pakistan's capacity to target those groups that threaten our countries, and have made it clear that we cannot tolerate a safe haven for terrorists whose location is known and whose intentions are clear.
The U.S. has promised increased military and economic aid to Islamabad, but Pakistan's leaders are wary of destabilizing their country. This year's military offensive in the Swat Valley has so far done little to stem the flow of terrorist attacks.
Other world news for you now, and the five British...
Let's go to Russia. I'm going to give you what we're hearing from Russia today. This was the news from Russia this morning after Obama's speech.
International news live from Moscow. This is RT with me, Yulia Shapovalova. Thanks for joining us. There's mixed reaction to President Obama's plan to send 30,000 more soldiers into Afghanistan. NATO says it's not just America's war, while the Taliban's vowing to step up its already fierce resistance. The revamped strategy comes with a pledge to start pulling out by 2011, which, as RT's Anastasia Chukina reports, is being seen as a sales pitch to the American people.
After months of making up his mind, the U.S. president has revealed his plan for Afghanistan, escalating the war at the fastest possible pace.
It is in our vital national interest to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan.
In a speech that echoed the one made by Bush just before kicking off the war in Iraq, only lasting almost twice as long, Obama has outlined the key steps. Fighting Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and strengthening Afghanistan's government and security forces.
You have a nation that has an overall literacy rate of only about 10%, and you can't conquer a nation like that. You can't deal with that militarily. I think he's making a terrible mistake.
American journalist Jerry Mazza sees this plan as pointless.
They want to diminish the power of the Taliban, and then they want to... diminish the power of the insurgency. These guys are not going to go away. They live there.
The total number of American troops in the region will now be over 100,000.
I think it's insane, quite honestly. It breaks my heart as a parent to know those guys are there to begin with and that they're sending more of these young people there.
But Barack Obama says he is sure of his decision.
I refuse to set goals that go beyond our responsibility, our means, or our interests.
The most recent estimates suggest $1 million are spent per soldier per year in Afghanistan.
So we're looking at a $33 billion per year increase. If we're going to be there for 3 years, we're looking at $100 billion spending.
All this cash will be injected into warfare when millions of Americans live without jobs and homes. Obama has set July 2011 as the date when withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan should begin. This is seen by some as a sales pitch.
I don't give his message about a withdrawal strategy any kind of credence because we've heard this kind of propaganda before.
Financial analyst Max Wolf says nothing is new and the plan is just more of the same.
I've always been partial to the old line from Einstein that keep doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome is Einstein's definition of insanity. I'd like to be given more of a qualitative assessment of what we're going to do differently.
Some say escalating the Afghan war is the biggest decision of the Obama presidency so far. After months of deliberation, Barack Obama will now be putting in place his plan for the Afghan war. But if the strategy turns out to be not well thought out, with the number of American troops on the ground and the sums of money to be spent, some are questioning whether it's a battle the United States can afford to fail. Anastasia Churkina, RT, New York.
Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program. What do you think? Those were two news reports from France and from Russia. Just thoughtful stuff. I want to give you one more. And then I want to share with you something that I got emailed to me last night that I think is indicative of the kind of conversation we should all be having about what's going on in Afghanistan. Let me round it out. Let's go to Al Jazeera. Even though President Obama laid out the new agenda, business continued as usual in Pakistan. Or Pakistan. I love the way President Obama pronounces Taliban, Afghanistan, Pakistan. Excellent.
Another bomb in Islamabad. This time it's the headquarters of Pakistan's Navy. A lone suicide bomber walks up to the gates, and when guards challenge him for his identity, he blows himself up. The blast came just hours after the US president outlined his new strategy for Pakistan and Afghanistan.
This latest bomb blast just shows you how fragile the situation here in Pakistan is. The US President Barack Obama may be lauding Pakistan's role, but this is the ground reality.
This blast is consistent with attacks by the Pakistani Taliban. And as US drone strikes still continue in the country, an unconfirmed report suggests that CIA operatives are mounting black ops within Pakistan. One political analyst says Obama's words suggest Pakistan is a partner, but American actions suggest otherwise.
I think until something really changes on ground, his words would sound hollow, because in the same breath he also spoke about the non-terrorist safe havens in Pakistan that the United States would not tolerate them. And that was sort of a warning to the Pakistani security apparatus, which is suspected of having had links with people to whom the president was referring.
The government here, though, has welcomed Obama's words.
We basically believe that it is fairly positive, and that Pakistan looks forward to engaging in this partnership that President Obama has spoken about. He's, for the first time, in very clear terms, he's talked about this partnership between the two countries. And so we hope every step, he's unveiled a strategy, but the strategy now has to go forward.
Despite the positive spin, Islamabad's streets are quieter than usual. Suicide bombings have had a devastating effect. Pakistanis are nervous about their future, and Obama's promises of partnership and mutual respect seems to have made little difference here.
I personally think they are making our own people fight with each other. Our own forces used against our own people.
Wherever America has intervened and has played some sort of a role, the outcome has always been disastrous.
The relationship between the US and Pakistan has always been strained. And while some will welcome Obama's words, others are suspicious of US motives. They hear conciliatory language, but many here simply do not believe the promises. When Obama says that safe havens won't be tolerated, many here anticipate more military action that, in itself, will only lead to further violence. Imran Khan, Al Jazeera, Islamabad.
Well, Al Jazeera's Kamal Haider is in Islamabad. Kamal, first of all, what are the implications of Obama's new strategy in Afghanistan for Pakistan?
Well, the implications are indeed something that should be a cause for worry for many people in Pakistan, even though the foreign ministry has welcomed some of the statements in that particular message that Obama sent out. However, the Pakistani Foreign Office has been careful in its wording, saying that it wants to see whether this policy will not have an adverse effect on Pakistan. Everyone knows that Obama was alluding to Al-Qaeda having safe havens in the Pakistani tribal areas. This is where the Pakistani military is involved in a struggle against the Pakistani Taliban, and therefore such suggestions coming at a time like this are likely to raise the nervous levels, I mean, at least frighten people to believe that Pakistan may be in for more fighting, more violence, because as the conflict escalates in Afghanistan, it is likely to have a devastating effect, particularly on the border region, along Pakistan-Afghanistan border region.
And what could that mean in practical terms, Kamal? Could there be more drone attacks in the border region? Could it mean more U.S. pressure on President Asif Ali Zardari and General Ashraf Ghani?
Well, the first most important thing to understand here is that Pakistan is already against the drone attacks. There's been a lot of debate, there's anger as far as the public is concerned. What the apprehensions are is that the Americans may actually go for hot pursuit. The fear is that as the Americans go in large numbers into Helmand and other provinces with an escalation of their military presence, that many of the Taliban may be pushed onto the Pakistani side. That is something that the military can not cope with, because the military right now is involved in an operation against the Pakistani Taliban. So the real fear is that the Americans don't have a plan. The plan that Obama is talking about is a small window of opportunity, and what Bush could not do in 8 years, people don't believe that Obama can achieve that in 18 months.
Kamal, thanks very much.
Okay, I'm giving you a mental massage right now. You all are articled up, like Tiger Woods is lawyered up. You all are articled up. I want to give you one more. Then I want to read an email that I received this morning from a war historian about Afghanistan. So let's go. Let me give you two more. I want to hit Russia Today. Again, we don't do CNN, Fox, or MSNBC like that. It's Russia Today, South Africa Broadcasting Corporation, France 24, Nigeria Television Authority, Chinese Metro Programming, NHK Japan. That's how we get down. Okay? So no Fox, CNN, or MSNBC. You could break out right now if that's what you're looking for. Here we go. This is an assessment of the challenge that America has in winning over Afghans. The key thing to listen to in all of this that to me was what it will take for Afghans to really support this war. Here we go.
President Obama is set to unveil his long-awaited new strategy on Afghanistan, which will mean tens of thousands more troops deployed. The announcement is expected in a televised address at a U.S. military academy. Obama has already briefed military chiefs and foreign leaders on the new Afghan plan. Officials say the U.S. president will send 30,000 additional troops over 6 months and that he wants NATO to send up to 10,000 more soldiers to join the international force. The decision comes amid raising concerns over Washington's eventual exit strategy for the operation. Investigative journalist Gareth Porter believes the U.S. has no clear idea of how to pull out.
The Obama administration has already begun to question how fast they can move on this vast increase in the Afghan National Army, which was supposed to be a central plank in the new strategy, according to General McChrystal. He wanted to grow from less than 100,000 now to 140,000 in a year, and then even to 240,000 at some unstated future date. That does not seem very realistic, and I think the Obama administration is beginning to realize that it is not going to be able to grow that army very fast, and it may even be questioning how useful it's going to be for a counterinsurgency strategy. What indeed is the exit strategy, if there indeed is one? Some sort of off-ramps, that potential ways for the United States to begin to leave. I think that's really a big question mark. And, I just don't know if they really have a clear idea of how they're going to do it. I'm afraid that there is a logic here of sending more troops and then having very great difficulty getting them out.
The White House says Obama's new strategy also implies the idea that the U.S. commitment in Afghanistan is not open-ended. And Dr. Vadir Shafi, a political analyst at Kabul University, says that his country really needs is a more effective government coupled with foreign help to improve security.
The Afghan people must see practically the government who is really serving the Afghan people. Until the good government and transparent state with the personnel is not established to help the foreign forces and those who want to bring peace in Afghanistan, the people will not trust just in promising and saying the more troops are coming. So when the people see that their economic situation and their life is getting better, then they can help their own government and also those foreigners who want to bring to peace for them. Until that time, uncertainty will prevail in the hearts and minds of the Afghan people.
Tension is reportedly...
I got one more for you. One more. This is the last one. This is the assessment on Al Jazeera yesterday. What's the assessment of the U.S. in Afghanistan? I got a lot of more. A lot of more, as Mr. T once said. Some mental massage. I want your comments, but I want it as sharp and opinionated in a concise way. Don't just send me links to articles about something, some conspiracy you're hearing. We already talked about how we don't want to be reckless with this subject.
Judge the Soviet experience and whether you judge it positive or negative. I think that we can say that the fate of international forces in Afghanistan may be equal to the fate of the Soviet forces in the sense that they will have to withdraw.
In a Moscow museum, relics from the Soviet invasion are on show. Here, people can draw their own lessons from defeat.
Russia has consigned the war to the annals of history, a conflict that marked the beginning of the end of Soviet imperialism, a defeat that still haunts military leaders to this very day. Neve Barker, Al Jazeera, Moscow.
Let's wrap all this up now with our senior political analyst, Marwan Beshawar, who's live in London for us. Marwan, as we were talking there, or at least in Neve's report, about lessons learnt, does 30,000 extra troops into Afghanistan 8 years after a war started, does that sound like lessons learnt to you?
Well, for Obama, it seems that he is thinking after 3 months of reflection that he claims to have learned many lessons, and he thinks now that escalation is needed. But this is not exactly the change that once the American public opinion would have believed in the sense that it is a continuation of more of the same so-called national security state, if you will, that if force doesn't work, well, guess what? More force will work. And I think in that sense, there isn't much of a change in the mentality, in the mindset, if you will, of finding war as a solution for security challenges. And hence, President Obama continues to escalate more of the same logic, if you will. And in a way, he's been held hostage to the very appointments he made on the outset of his administration and on the very logic of saying this is a war of necessity, unlike the predecessor's war, a war of choice.
So then, in your opinion, Marwan, what would have been the quote-unquote right decision to make? To be fair to President Obama, there is still a war going on. He's got to have boots on the ground to be able to fight that war.
Cedric Muhammad.